Well, there was a new missionary recruit to the country of Venezuela. And upon arrival, he realized soon enough how culturally different it was, even than what he expected it to be. And so he was struggling to fit in, struggling with the language, but he wanted to get connected to a local church. And so he decided he was going to go visit this local church that he'd picked out, and he made his way there. Well, along the way, he got lost, but then he eventually got back on track. The only problem was, by the time he turned up to church, the service had already started, and it was completely packed out. And so as he's standing there, he's not seeing any seats available apart from a seat on the very front row. Well, not wanting to look like he doesn't know what he's doing, he picks someone out on the front row that he's going to imitate. And so he goes and he stands next to this guy and he begins to copy everything that he's doing. And so as worship's going on, as the guy next to him claps, he starts clapping. When he sits down, he sits down. And he continues to do this throughout the entire worship experience. The pastor comes out, and as he's preaching, the guy next to him starts clapping. So again, he starts clapping. He stands up, so he stands up. And then he perceived enough that the message had finished and that the pastor was now in the announcement portion of the service experience. And so as he's just sitting there, all of a sudden the pastor says something that he doesn't understand, but the guy next to him stands up. So he immediately stands up with him. All of a sudden, everyone in the church just goes, and the missionary, he turns around and he looks, and he realizes that he is the only one standing up apart from himself and the guy next to him. So clearly embarrassed, he quickly sits down. And then at the end of service, as the pastor is saying bye to everyone and shaking their hands at the door, the missionary goes to leave. And the pastor says to him in English, "I take it you don't speak Spanish." And the missionary said, "Well, no, I don't. Was it that obvious?" And he said, "Well, yes, because I had announced that the Acosta family have just given birth to a brand new baby boy. And would the proud father please stand up?" See, you and I, we're not called to follow the crowd, we're called to bring the crowd. That is what we are called to do. We're not called to imitate, we are called to innovate and bring people with us. And as we're kicking off this series, preparing for a miracle, the miracle that we are preparing for as a church is seeing this place packed out. And we want you to be a part of that miracle by inviting and bringing people here. We know that people are more likely to say yes to coming to church on Easter weekend than any other weekend. And so how do you play your part in being a part of the miracle that God wants to do for this church on Easter? It's simple. It's having compassion for the lost. And the story we're going to look at today, that's where it begins. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "Jesus saw the huge crowd and he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." See, sheep without a shepherd, it speaks of sheep being alone, being out in the wilderness, being vulnerable. And if we're honest, that's thousands of people in our city today, online, wherever you're watching from. That is thousands of people in your city today, that they are lost and in need of the Good Shepherd. And so we are believing as a church for the miracle of seeing this place packed out at each service. But my question for you today is this: what miracle are you preparing for in your own life? What miracle do you need God to do in your own life? What is a miracle? A miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. In other words, it's when God interrupts and intervenes in your human situation. And so maybe you need a miracle in your finances today. Maybe you need a miracle in your health. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage or in your family relationships. Maybe you need a miracle in your school or your place of work. And so I want to encourage you today that we believe in a miracle-working God, and He is more than able to do what you are asking Him to do. And sometimes we can forget that He is a miracle-working God. But what miracle do you need in your own life? How do you prepare for your miracle? The first step is this: admit we have a need. See, after the huge crowd had gathered, this is where the preparation for the miracle begins. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 35 and 37, it says, "Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat.' But Jesus said, 'You feed them. You feed them.' 'With what?' they asked. 'We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all of these people.'" See, the disciples admitted that they had a need, and the need was food. And there's three behaviors that you and I will tend to do when we have a need. And the first behavior that we do is this: we procrastinate. So the disciples already said to Jesus, "Oh, it's already getting late." In other words, "Oh, I'll put it off. Let's push it away." But procrastination only makes the problem worse. And so are you procrastinating in your debt? It's only going to get bigger. Are you procrastinating in getting in your degree? It's only going to take you longer. Are you procrastinating in your marriage? It's only going to get worse. Where are you procrastinating? The second thing that we do is this, is that we pass the buck. The disciples said, "Send the crowds away." In other words, it's their problem. That's not our responsibility. Let them figure it out of where they need to get food. We don't want to take on that responsibility. We pass it on. And the third thing we do is this: we worry. The disciples said, "We'd have to work for months to earn enough food to buy for all of these people." And you and I, when we have a need, we will tend to do this: "How, God? How are you going to do it? How are you going to make it happen? I'm not good enough. There's no way, God, you can use someone like me. I'm going to look silly. What is this person going to think about me if I step out in faith and I do this?" And we worry about it. See, the disciples had forgotten who was there with them that day. They'd forgotten that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, was standing right next to them in that very moment. And if you and I are not careful, we will begin to live our lives as Christians, forgetting that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, the Son of God, is standing right next to us each and every single day. And He goes before you, and He walks with you, and He is with you always. God can't fix what you don't acknowledge. And so God wants to do miracles in your life, but it first starts with you admitting that you have a need. The second step for you to prepare for your miracle is this: assess what you already have to work with. You know, a few months ago, I was in HEB. Normally, because that's where my wife has sent me, and this time was no different. And she sent me on the hunt for shampoo and conditioner. And now I'm never normally in that aisle in HEB. And now I'm standing there, and I'm just seeing these array of options. I mean, it's stupid the amount of options that are there. I mean, how many vanillas and coconut shampoo do you need? But I'm looking for it. And then there's a lady in her 50s. I hope she was in her 50s. I hope she's not here today. I'm assuming she was in her 50s. But she joins, whatever. She joins in the hunt for shampoo and conditioner with me. And after a few minutes, she asked me a question that I thought no one would ever ask me. And she looks at me and she says, "Excuse me." I said, "Yes." She said, "Would you mind getting that shampoo down from the top shelf, please?" See, I'm standing at a massive 5'8". And I'm now looking at the top shelf of this shampoo. And I simply smile at her and I say, yes, ma'am. And I'm just so glad the shampoo is at the very front of the top shelf and not pushed all the way back. And I reached up, and thankfully I wasn't on my tippy toes, but I reached up and I grabbed it and I simply handed it to the lady. And I said, there you go, ma'am. And she says, thank you ever so much. As she left, for a moment, I knew what it felt like to be LeBron James. I was like, finally, this is what people over 6 feet feel like. Because no one has ever asked me to get something off the top shelf before. But I assessed what I had, and I knew I could just do it. But jumping in to the story again of Mark 6, 38, Jesus says to the disciples, how much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. They came back, and they reported, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is it, Jesus. This is all we have. We've assessed what we have. And this is simply it. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But I love that Jesus asked them that question of how much bread do you have? See, God isn't asking us how much bread we have because he needs to know. He's asking us how much bread we have because we need to know. God is trying to remind us of what he has already given us, and we need to stop looking at what other people have. We need to take our eyes off of what we don't have and put our eyes on what we do have. And Jesus has given all of you 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that is all you need for God to do a miracle. God starts his miracle with what you've got. So use what you've got. Use your faith. Use your money. Use your time. Use your relationships. Use your influence. See, we've all been created with gifts and talents that God put inside of us since birth. And God did not intend for those things to lie dormant. God loves to ask his children to do the impossible because it stretches your faith. And it tests your faith. You all have something to work with. And so I want to challenge you that when you get home today, take a moment, sit down, and write down what you really do have to work with, and you will be amazed at what you already have to work with, what God can do a miracle with. You know, God gave me a sense of humor that my wife doesn't think is funny. And that's okay. It's what I have. And my sense of humor, honestly, is what I use even in sad moments. To be honest with you, to be transparent with you, even in sad moments, I use my sense of humor to cover up my sadness. You know, one time I was asked by someone really, really close to me about a loved one that had passed away and that we personally knew. And they said, hey, well, what song should we sing at the funeral? And I simply looked and said, I don't know. How about I'm Still Standing? What I had. You all have something. Don't devalue the smallness of the seed that you have. Don't devalue the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, because everything you have contains an ingredient for a miracle. Everything you have. Don't devalue the smallness of what you have. The third step for you to prepare for a miracle is this. Organize your efforts. Organize your efforts. You see it time and time again in sports, where an organized team will be a talented team. You can have all the talent in the world, but if it's not organized, you will never win a championship. Now, Michael Jordan, the GOAT of basketball, put it this way. Talent wins games, but teamwork wins championships. Teamwork means that there's organization there. Everyone knows their part. Everyone knows their role. Because it doesn't matter how brilliant you are. If you're playing a solo game, you will always lose out to a team. And so are you living your life solo, or are you living your life as a team with Jesus? One way you win, one way you lose. How are you living your life? You jump back into the story of Mark 6, 39 and 40. It says, then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. It was organized. And here's why, because when it's organized, Jesus can really begin to do the miracle that he wants to do. Why? Because you are making room for Jesus to work. And so you want a miracle, but are you organized? What does your back office your desk look like in your back office? Is there unpaid bills everywhere? You want a miracle in your education, but you're not putting the time into study. You want a promotion or a pay rise, but you're not planning out your day at work. You're just going off and going in on a cuff, and you're getting outshined by everyone else. God can really begin to do the miracle when you organize your efforts, because you are making room for him to work. And Jesus had the people organized so that there was enough room for everyone to be there. That's why we as a church are asking you for this Easter to please scan the QR code and get your ticket for the Easter service that you are planning on attending. And if you weren't here last week, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're going to find out at the end of service. That's why you don't skip church. But we're asking you to get your ticket for our Easter services. Why? So that there can be enough room for all the new people that we're expecting God to bring, because you are going out and you are inviting them and bringing them into God's house. We're preparing for the miracle of God wants to do by organizing our efforts. And so please help us out. Be a part of the miracle and please get your Easter service tickets. If you're able to come to an earlier service, then please do so. But regardless of what service you're planning on coming to, just get the tickets that you need for that service so that there's room for the crowd. Jesus never turned the crowds away, and neither will we. You know, Egg Your City is another organized effort that we're doing when you have the Easter invites. It stands for everyone giving generously. Imagine what this place would look like if we all took that seriously. 4,000 to 5,000 of us going out into our city and egging our neighbor's house. Figuratively. Imagine the miracle of what this place will look like on Easter weekend, because we organized our efforts and we had compassion on the lost. And we invited them to church. You become a part of the miracle that God wants to do this Easter by simply getting your ticket and making enough room and egging this city. You become a part of people's salvation story. But where do you need to organize yourself to prepare for your own miracle? Where do you need to do that? The fourth and final step for you and I to prepare for our miracle is this. Give God whatever you have. Give God whatever you have. You know, Mark chapter 6, verse 41 and 44, continuing in the story, it says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed that day. What I love about that is this, is that 5,000 count is just the men. That's not including the women and the children. And so when you listen to most theologians today, they will tell you that actually it wasn't just 5,000 people that were fed that day. It was somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 on 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples were distributing the bread to the people. They gave Jesus what they had. But they didn't just give Jesus the bread and the fish. They gave Jesus their hands as well. And they began to serve the people by distributing the bread. And there's an incredible story of a man in our church named Jason. And he talks about the impact of serving the people. Please check out this video.
Hi, my name is Jason Lopez, and I've been going to Church Unlimited since September of 2022. My father ended up getting killed in front of my home whenever I was 3 years old, almost four. So from the time of four until 11, I kind of was just living a little bit lawless, kind of lived a pretty open, careless life. The reason why I started serving in students is to really help out, but then to give these kids something that I didn't have. I started seeing myself as a child, once again, living on the island. But now, instead of living lawless like I did most of my life, running around the island, they actually have a place to be that's beneficial, that's helpful. The kids have a place that's safe. They have food. They have like-minded friends. You know, I think people should serve because, you know, not only is it beneficial to the church, something that we believe in, I don't think that they realize how beneficial it is to ourselves also. You know, God has his ways of doing things in our lives and to help better us by putting us in areas where we're going to grow. And a lot of times, serving in the church will do just that. First walking into the church, you know, someone who doesn't tithe, who doesn't serve, but who's being served by other people's tithe. You know, I didn't understand that until I started serving myself and being part of the church, that now I am there for somebody else. It's all part of helping people grow into the people that they're meant to be. And Church Unlimited helped me do that. And I hope to be able to help other people do that in their lives by serving. So I'm grateful to be a part of this church.
I love Jason's story. Jason has given God whatever he had. What about you? Give God whatever you have. See, God isn't asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to give what you do. Your time, your talents, your treasure. And everyone's time, talent, and treasure is and looks different, but it's something that we can all give. You may say, well, I don't have $1 million. Great, then God's not asking you for it. But what can you give? Your life becomes better when you start living out your purpose by serving others. Your life becomes better when you start being obedient to God's word in sacrificing and honoring God with the tithe. You know, one little boy's lunch made the Bible. He made history. 5 loaves and 2 bread. The little boy and the widow's mite, they both made a difference. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart that you give with. And so what do you need to give God today? Can you give God an extra hour on a Sunday to serve a service, to make a difference? And maybe you'll say, well, Pastor, I work on Sundays. I can only be here for an hour. Hey, no problem. Then help us in the week. Come and serve up here during the week and help us prepare every week for a Sunday. Everyone can give something. The point is this. We all have something we can give God to work with for our own miracle. And for you to be a part of the church's miracle that we're preparing for, we all have hands to give out invites. We will have a mouth to personally invite someone. And we can make a difference by having compassion on the lost. But what can you give God for your own miracle? And maybe you're in here today and you're going to say, but Pastor, I've tried giving it to God before and it didn't go the way that I wanted. Listen, being defeated is only a temporary position. Giving up is what makes it permanent. And so have you given up on a miracle? Is there something that God spoke over your life that you've given up on because it didn't go the way that you wanted? It didn't happen in your time, so then you decided that God can no longer do that? Maybe you need to give back that to God today. We all have something that we can give God. The enemy is scared of you. The enemy doesn't want you to have a relationship with Jesus because he knows if you start living your life for him, you're going to make a difference. And so what miracle have you given up on? Maybe today you need to reignite that faith and believe again for the miracle that you know that God can do in you. All what matters is this, is how much of God is in your 5 loaves and 2 fish. How much of God is in your 5 loaves and your 2 fish? To encourage you, look at what happens when you put what you have in the miracle maker's hands. Jumping back in, Mark 6:42, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. See, when the disciples finally did their part in the preparation for a miracle, when they finally admitted that they had a need, when they finally assessed what they had and they organized their efforts and they gave to God whatever it is that they could give to God, when they finally did all of those things, when their preparation positioned them for a miracle, Jesus just showed off. Because you see, Jesus took the bread and Jesus began to break it. And as he was breaking the bread began to multiply. Each and every single time he broke it, those baskets kept on filling up. Jesus began blessing what was never going to be enough, knowing that if you bring your not enough into the hands of a God that is more than enough, he can do a miracle. It's not about what you have. It's about, are you willing to give it to God? He will take your not enough because he is the God of more than enough. And when you step out in faith, not only will God do the miracle that you are looking for in your life, but he will go above and beyond it by pouring out an overflow. God just didn't feed the thousands upon thousands of people that were there. There was leftovers. When God got into the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it was no longer a little boy's lunch. It was a meal that fed thousands. They didn't just receive the miracle that they were looking for, but God did so much more. Church, we don't just serve the miracle working God, but we serve the God of the overflow as well. The miracle is just a part of the overflow that God wants to do in your life. And so as you prepare for a miracle, remember, admit your needs, assess what you have, organize your efforts, and give God whatever you have. God will use whatever you give him. So what do you need to give God today? He'll use it. What do you need to give God today? You know, I love how the multiplication didn't happen when Jesus was blessing the bread. It happened when he was breaking it. And that's a message for another day. But it was in the breaking that the multiplying of the miracle happened. And so maybe today you need to give God your brokenness. He'll take it. That's all he needs. Maybe today you need to give God your marriage. Maybe you need to give God your singleness. Maybe you need to give God your finances. Maybe you need to give God your business, your family, whatever it is. What do you need to give God today in preparation for the miracle that he wants to do in your life? And so we're going to open up the altar right here at the front. And we're going to have a moment where we just get to come before God and simply say, God, here I am, and I give it to you as we sing the song, You Are More Than Able, because church, He is more than able. It doesn't matter if it's just 5 loaves and 2 fish. If that's all you have, God can work with it. And so I'm going to invite everyone just to stand right now. And if you need to make your way to the front and join me up here, as we cry out to God, what miracle are you looking for? Where do you need God to work in your life? If you have a miracle that you need, then begin to make your way forward and begin to give God whatever it is that you need to give Him today. Let's worship God.
Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do is gonna happen. Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move.
Sing it again.
Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do is gonna happen. Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move. Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? It's gonna happen. Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. He's gonna move. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Anything is possible. Anything you need. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Anything, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Tell Him what you need. Lift up your prayer. He can do anything.
You are more than able. You are more than.
Father, we do just come before you right now, and Lord, I thank you for each and every single person that is up here. God, I thank you, Lord God, for the prayers that have been offered up, for the miracles. God, you know the miracles that are needed in this place. And so, Lord, I just pray that you meet the people where they're at, God, as they prepare for the miracle. God, they've given you what they've got. So I thank you for their lives. Thank you for how you're moving in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And maybe you're in here today. You can go ahead and take your seats. Maybe you're in here today and simply saying, well, Pastor, that's all well and good. I've heard you talk about this miracle-working Jesus, and it all sounds great. but I don't even know him. I don't even have a relationship with him. Where do I start? You start by simply opening in your heart and asking Jesus to come into your life. And so if that's you today, and you want to receive the miracle of salvation, then all you have to do is pray a very, very simple prayer. It's not complicated. But right now, if you want to leave here in a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to lead out in a prayer. And I'm just simply going to ask that if you've never prayed this prayer, I want you to pray it with me, but we're going to pray this prayer as one big family in support of those that are praying this for the very first time. So if that's you and you want a relationship with the miracle working God, then pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I ask you right now that you, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I repent and say sorry. Please come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you that I am brand new in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. But if that's you and you're in here today and you just prayed that prayer, this moment is just between you and God. There's no one looking. But if you prayed that prayer and you made that decision today, would you do me the honor by simply raising your hand and saying, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus today. There's no one looking around. So if that's you, please go ahead right now and just begin to raise your hands. If you prayed that prayer, keep your hands up high. There's no one looking around. Hands going up all over. You're not the only one. Online, if you prayed that prayer, put it in the text chat and let us know. Decision made. Prison ministry, raise that hand. Is there anyone else that says, yeah, that was me? You can go ahead and put your hands down. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you right now, and God, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God, that you are more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly more. And so, Lord, as we prepare for the miracle of what you're going to do on Easter, as we as individuals prepare for our own miracles of what you're going to do in our lives, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be reminded that you go before us each and every single day. So, Lord, thank you for how you've moved in your house today. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Pastor.